Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirit, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of the Lord.
The sermons for this month of August have all come from the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 8th verse, where Jesus gives his disciples four different commands. We've been talking about one of those commands each of the 4 weeks here in August. The first is to heal the sick. The second command that he gives his disciples is that we are to raise the dead. The third is that we are to cleanse the leper. And the fourth is that we are to cast out demons. And so that's the topic today, is casting out demons. And you may be thinking to yourself, preaching on that subject, aren't you like about 500 years behind the times, thinking about preaching on demons? I mean, didn't we stop taking demons seriously sometime around the Middle Ages? Who believes in demons today? 30% of the population believes in demons. More people believe in UFOs than believe in demons when pollsters have taken a survey of people. People just don't talk about demons these days. If you do, people will think you're a little crazy or a lot crazy. People don't worry about demons. Honest, I have not got a single call all week where somebody says, "I'm really worried about demons. Will you pray for me?" Nobody in the last month, year, nobody in the last 45 years has asked me really to pray for them for a problem of demons. People have moved on, haven't we? We're too sophisticated, we're too intelligent to think about that stuff from the Middle Ages, from the ancient world, because you see, now we have science. And when we read our scriptures and we read about people in the Bible stories who had demons, we say, well, you know, they just didn't know about epilepsy, or they just didn't know about mental illness. And so today, when we read those passages, we just ignore the demons totally, and we just say, well, this is a bunch of people, they didn't know as much as we did, so they just used this word instead of the more common words that we use. But I want to argue today that the demons that appear in the New Testament still exist, and not in forms of people who have who are epileptic or people who have mental illnesses. I want to argue that they still exist in different forms, that they are only indirectly relevant to mental illness and not at all relevant to what we now know as epilepsy. And that demons really do need to be on the radar of the modern church and of modern Christians. I'm going to see if I can convince you of that in the sermon today. I hope to convince you that it's okay for people who are intellectuals to think and talk about demons these days. Now, very quickly, I do not believe in the kind of demons that are portrayed by Hollywood. In Hollywood, demons require somebody on the set to do special effects, you know, so the head spins around on the neck, and there's all sorts of awful noises and so forth. In order for Hollywood to present a demon, everybody has to suspend their disbelief. In fact, the demons that Hollywood presents to us in their movies are so bizarre, so make-believe, and cartoonish that we find ourselves actually entertained by them. But the demons that I understand, the demons that I want to talk to you about today, are not entertaining at all. They are in our lives. They affect all of us. They are like the software program running in the background that undoes us every time we experience stress. The demons today are those phenomena that cause us to be alienated from one another. The demons today are affecting our church, our personal lives, our families, our nation, and our world. The demons that we have today are causing such a mess in our lives that even sane and thoughtful people find themselves getting sucked into the chaos. So I think actually a lot of people stopped believing in demons whenever movies like The Exorcist came out. We reckon these days, particularly after we've seen movies like The Exorcist, we reckon that we're much smarter than that. This is all make-believe. There's nothing real about it. And true, everything in Hollywood is make-believe about that. You know, the English language has about 500,000 words in it. And with all those words, we've become really smart. With the corresponding intelligence that goes with our 500,000 words that we have in our language, we can identify, catalog, diagnose, analyze, slice and dice, and prognosticate nearly anything that this world may throw at us. We're really good at science and social science and medicine and mechanics. We're really good at all of these things. You would think, as intelligent as we've become, that we can handle any problem that comes our way, theoretically, you would think. But every once in a while, for all of the words that we have in the English language and for all of our accomplishments in terms of science and engineering and so forth, every once in a while a problem comes along and all of our modern stuff can't solve it. And we need to go back to some outdated concepts, such as demons, to help us navigate situations that are troubling us so much today. Our modern ways of thinking aren't cutting it. And I think one of the words that we need to resuscitate from long, long ago is the word demon and the biblical concept of demon. That's what I want to look at this morning. What does the Bible really say about demons? In the text from Matthew 10, Jesus calls upon his followers to cast out demons. Now, the word demon is synonymous with the word unclean spirit. The scripture that Jordan read for us, remember, it was an unclean spirit. They mean the same thing, unclean spirit, demon. The word demon was a word that was more suitable to people who were seeped in the Greek culture, where the word unclean spirit was a word that was better understood by the Jewish people. So, and the New Testament is for both people who are more oriented toward being Greek, as well as people who are more oriented toward being Jewish. And so both words are used interchangeably. Demon, unclean spirit, they mean the same thing, just coming from different cultures. Now the word demon in Greek is daimonion, and the word itself comes from a root which means to tear things apart. So stop and think about the demon or the unclean spirit is that living power that tears things apart. The demon in Greek, in the Greek ancient world, was a living entity that brought destruction to human beings, to families, to communities, to nations, even to livestock. It means to tear apart, to divide, and to destroy. And so the question that we might ask ourselves today, are we experiencing any of that today? Are we experiencing being torn apart? Maybe within our own selves. Do you ever feel that way, that inside yourself you're just being torn apart? Or do we experience that in our families? Or do we experience that with people that are close to us, that there seems to be something tearing us apart? Or do we experience that sometimes in churches? Are we experiencing that as a nation? This is the work of the demons. And we have all sorts of ways to try to describe those problems that we're experiencing. But what I want us to do this morning is to consider the concept of a demon and how demons operate, and to consider the concept that maybe the demons are at the heart of what we're dealing with. In Greek literature, demons appear frequently, and in Greek literature, they create delusions and bewilderment. People get overexcited because of the influence of demons. People are separated from their common sense. Anybody notice that on occasion? For our purposes, demons are the bits and pieces of dark spiritual powers that have come loose, escaped, and lost connection with God. So what does it mean to have a living power that's causing destruction? Something alive that's hard to define, that's hard to understand, that's imprecise, but it's causing destruction. We see that in the fields of medicine. We call those things viruses. Viruses are really hard for us to define. The main thing that we know about viruses is we know what they do. We know the destruction that they cause. And as much as we don't know about viruses, we do know that they can destroy human life, and we must constantly be taking countermeasures against them. We call them viruses. Anybody who has a computer, you know about viruses? All right? Viruses there are these self-replicating destructive codes that are embedded in a software that will cause a computer or software program to crash. This self-replicating behavior. In our spiritual lives, a demon is a virus. A demon is a spiritual virus that runs counter to the power of God in our lives. This is how I want us to think about a demon. A demon is any spiritual virus that gets into our thinking, that gets into our relationships, that gets into our church, that can get into our nation. It's a living phenomenon that causes us, that it works counter to what the living God wants for us. Now, most of us, even though we have trouble believing in demons, it seems as though we have very little trouble believing that there could at least be a living God who generates good things for our world, for our institutions, and for our personal lives. We have very little trouble believing in a living God who is creating beauty, establishing justice, favoring freedom, who continually is pouring into our lives love and joy. If we can conceptualize a living God who is making our lives better, it shouldn't be all that hard to conceptualize other living stuff that is working to undo us. If we can conceptualize a living God, we ought to be able to conceptualize that there's other living stuff out there that is working against God. Demons are the living realities that get into our thinking. And this is particularly where demons affect us. They get into our thinking and they distort how we think. Demons get into our thinking and they disable our emotions, our rationality, our perceptions, and our attentions. Demons get into our thinking and they throw off our memories, our relationships, and our intuitions. When demons get into our thinking, the only way we can deal with a demon is to name it, govern it, and exile it. This is the opposite of the way we deal with most of our other problems. Normally, we tend to think in a mechanistic and materialistic way, and we think the way to deal with problems is to fix them. Or the way to deal with a problem is to nuke it or obliterate it, destroy it. But those things can't be done. If the problem is demonic, if the problem is a spiritual demon, we can't deal with demons like we do any other problems. All we can do with a demon is name it, govern it, and exile it. I don't see any way that an authentic intellectual can dismiss imagination as an essential pathway for discovering truth. And I don't see how any imaginative intellectual can condescendingly cast out the Bible's imaginative and artistic expression of demons. It's okay for people of intelligence to think about demons. It's necessary. In fact, it's rather unintelligent to not think about demons. Now, when we look at the Bible, we notice several things about demons. We notice that they all seem to work together in order to destroy persons and communities. We notice that demons can become so much a part of us that we are convinced that we can't live without them, even though they torture us. We notice that demons can take control of our bodies, our emotions, our thinking. We notice that demons can poison our relationships. We notice that we become governed by them rather than we take authority in our own lives. In the Bible, demons or unclean spirits cause people to convulse, cry out. They give people superhuman strength enough to cause superhuman problems. And Jesus was well known for casting out demons. Consider this. The most common thing that Jesus did for other people was to cast out demons. More so than allow the blind to see or the lame to walk or the deaf to hear. More than anything else, the work of Jesus was focused on casting out demons. Isn't it interesting that we barely talk about that these days? Also consider this, that when Jesus was telling his followers what to do, he said, it's our job to cast out demons. We ought to be doing that. I don't know what reports, we have all sorts of reports we have to turn into the conference. Not once have I ever been asked, how many demons has your congregation cast out? We don't even think these ways anymore. And yet this was the primary thing that Jesus did. We are the body of Christ. It ought to be primary in our understanding of who we are as a congregation that we're casting out demons. It was Jesus who cast out demons, restored power to people who were then free, allowing people to resume life with their families and their communities. Jesus saw his battle against demons as the same thing as his battle against the devil. Now, people today, I want to say a word about how, I mentioned this a little earlier in the sermon, and I want to hit this point really hard right now. A lot of times when people read the Bible and they read about unclean spirits or they read about demons, we just hear it over and over. Well, now what that means is this person actually had epilepsy or this person actually had a mental illness and they just didn't know how to write about it back then. So now we're smarter. And so we use the proper diagnostic terms. This is a tragic link that we've made between demons, unclean spirits, mental illness, and epilepsy. Mental illness, epilepsy, these are not to be equated with the work of demons and unclean spirits. Mental illness and epilepsy are tragic consequences. They're two very different things, but they're tragic consequences of biological, electrochemical malfunctions that can be understood and addressed by scientific means. A demon, on the other hand, is a tragedy that happens to people that must be addressed by the strength of one's own personality. It must be addressed by the community as a whole. It must be addressed by prayer. So, I plead with you, let's stop saying demons are just the ignorance of an ancient people. They are very different and they're consequential today. Demons constitute spiritual attacks against persons. And here's how a demon works. Let's go back to that Greek understanding. A demon is something that pulls apart, tears apart, destroys by causing disintegration. So let's think for a moment about the human personality. I'm going to mix some psychology in with the Bible lesson today. Let's think about the human personality. The human personality is very complex. So we have parts of our personality that have to go together. They're different, but they have to hang together. For instance, one of the things that we have to be able to have in our personality, we have to be able to have both self-confidence and humility. All right? They're kind of different, aren't they? Self-confidence, humility. And those two things have to hang together. They have to be integrated. And every personality ought to have a healthy dose of humility and a healthy dose of self-confidence. Now, what happens if those two come apart, though? What happens if we lose our self-confidence? and all we have is humility, what we're left with then is humiliation. And life's going to get really bad for us. Or what happens if those two come apart, self-confidence and humility, and we lose the humility apart, and all we've got left is the self-confidence, we're going to be very arrogant and hard to deal with, and probably very stupid as well. So once the personality disintegrates, comes apart, once the personality is pulled apart, then everybody's in for big trouble. We're in for big trouble, and the people around us are in for big trouble. And almost every problem we have can be traced to a disintegration of things in our personality that need to be held together. The idea of anger and compassion, those seem to be pretty opposite, don't they? But in a healthy personality, those two things are integrated. What happens if anger and compassion are torn apart? The word demon in Greek, tearing something apart. What happens if that aspect of our personality is torn apart? If we find ourselves then angry without any compassion, we're going to be abusive to people. On the other hand, if we find ourselves compassionate without any anger, which, by the way, is a gift of God, it's part of being created in the image of God. If we're compassionate and we have no healthy anger to integrate into that, then we're going to be used by people. We're just going to be walked all over. So it's when the personality disintegrates, things that need to stay together come apart, that we find ourselves in big, big trouble. In the United Methodist Church, we say that we are a denomination of the head and the heart. Integrated. The head and the heart integrated. But what happens if somehow there's a disintegration of intelligence and the heart? Then once the head and the heart come apart, we are neither compassionate nor thoughtful. It's the disintegration that causes the problem. And what we find, the definition of a demon in the Bible, a demon is that process. It's that living phenomenon that tears apart a personality that needs to stay integrated. And here's another thing a demon does. A demon can not only tear apart a person's personality, parts that need to be held together, but a demon can also tear apart individuals. A demon can tear apart families. A demon can tear apart relationships that need to be strong, that need to have understanding, that need to be growing together. Demons tear things apart. Spiritual viruses. They get into the mind. They cause us to forget things that are important to remember about each other. Demons distort our perception of people and our perception of situations. We look at something and we interpret it and we're way off because the demon has somehow gotten in our thinking and distorted what we see. Demons can create conflict between two people out of nothing. In fact, demons can take a situation that ought to be bringing two people together and instead use the situation to tear them apart. Demons can send whole congregations of people spiraling downward in senseless self-destruction. Demons can upset entire nations and create international conflict, if not by creating little Hitlers, then by flooding our lives, our public life, with so many lies and deceptions that citizens actually end up hating each other and demonizing one another. Do we have demon infestation or not? We handle those things differently. We handle them in the ways of Jesus. In fact, the surest sign that we need an exorcism is when we find ourselves demonizing one another. Jesus says his followers to cast out demons. There perhaps is no more important work for Christians to do in our world today than the exorcising of demons. We need to exorcise demons from our churches, our personalities, and our country. Here's another definition of a demon. A demon is a lie that takes on a life of its own. A demon is a lie that takes on a life of its own. It distorts the truth about who a person is. It distorts the truth about what a church is, about what a nation is. It destroys the truth about other people. A demon is a living lie residing in the human mind that causes injury and dysfunction and disarray and disaster and disconnection and discord and discouragement and disgrace and dishonesty and distortion and disobedience to God. It is pity that we do not remember our biblical stories of casting out demons. It's a pity that we have not been very good stewards in our spiritual vocabulary. We've let the word demon slip from our spiritual vocabulary. Smart people think they shouldn't talk about demons in today's world. We talk about all of our problems as though they're medical problems or scientific problems or political problems or educational problems or social problems. And they have dementia. Problems certainly appear in all of these areas. But we also have spiritual problems. And we need to name those spiritual problems for what they really are, demons, and look to Jesus to find ways to change our lives for the better. I respect the work of people who are in education and medicine, psychology, government, science, sociology. I respect people who are practicing the crafts of politics and government, trying to solve problems in any ways that they can. But it's from Jesus that we learn to identify demons and cast them out. It is from Jesus that we learn that if we really want to love people, we have to learn that art and that power of casting out demons. Now, casting out demons, Jesus' style is very simple. Remember, a demon is a spiritual virus that causes us to assume a lie. It sets a lie in motion about ourselves, about the people who are closest to us, about someone else in the church, about groups of people who cause us to feel uneasy, about people who may hurt us, we think. And a demon uses our assumptions about other people and situations to trick us into doing something stupid. Demons love stupidity. Demons thrive in the darkness, in the ignorance, in the laziness, and in stupidity. That's why demons are so powerful. They are fed by our stupidity, our inability to discern the truth in the midst of a lie, whether it's in a family, whether it's about ourselves, whether it's in the political arena. So here's how you get rid of demons. We see it in the stories of Jesus. Demons will flee. They'll run away from all those who can keep their cool when others are losing their heads. Demons will wilt and flee from those who can stay centered in grace when everybody else is feverishly blaming somebody. Demons will wilt and flee whenever we can confront lies calmly and respectfully. Demons will wilt and flee when they are named and exposed for what they are in front of the crowd. Demons will wilt and flee when we can bathe those who are afflicted in prayer. Unclean spirits are cast out whenever we can disengage from the chaos and find our way back to God's clean spirit. Unclean spirits are cast out whenever we can shine the biblical light of justice, liberation, and compassion into situations. Unclean spirits are cast out whenever we realize that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Unclean spirits are cast out, when we can look at somebody and see that that person is in a bad place, and by sheer strength of the personality God has given us, by gravitas, help nudge that person toward a better place. Now, Jesus, over and over, casts out demons, and he expects his followers to do the same. To confront head-on the living lies that are among us. Two by two, Jesus sends his followers out to do this work. And as we grow more and more into the likeness of Christ, the good news is we're going to find our power to confront demons is increasing. In our very Christ-like presence, demons will flee and be flushed away by powers of truth and grace. The bad news today is we have too many demons in our lives, in our country, in our world. The good news today is a demon is no match at all for anybody who has the power and the love and the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. The bad news is there's a lot of damage being done by demons, spiritual viruses. The good news is that no demon can survive when the name of Jesus is lifted up. The bad news is that we see our country, we see families, we see our personalities torn apart by those living substances that would undo us. The good news is that at the name of Jesus, the demons flee. We're here today to receive this commandment, but more than the command, we are here today to be reassured that God and God's love within us triumphs over all.